In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And what he was saying was, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. And what he didn't say, but what he actually meant also, was that if he should come to a point where he doesn't follow Christ, then don't follow him. By not, you know, by his words, he was saying that he was imitating Christ, and he wanted those that he was speaking to imitate Christ as well. In verse 2, it says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions as I delivered them to you." Well, I have a question. It says, how do you know that the leaders that you're following are following Christ? How do you know that? Because that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. It says, follow me, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So how do you know? Well, Matthew 7:16 starts to clear that up. It says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? From their fruits you will know them." But I have another question. How do you know that the fruits are good fruits? If you look at an apple tree, can you tell just by looking at the tree that the fruit is good? Have you ever picked up an apple? It looks crisp and shiny, bite into it, and it's soft and mushy inside. You can't always tell by appearance. How do you know that the fruits are good fruits? Well, the best way to know is to test the fruits by being focused on Jesus Christ. Just as Paul stated, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ, is what the Apostle Paul said. The only way that you can know for sure is that you have to be focused on Christ yourself. If you're not focused, maybe you don't know. I remember a number of years ago, a lot of us remember that we all, in our former association, there was quite a few that apparently wasn't focused on Christ. 50% or more, some say maybe as much as 80%, was not focused on Christ when they decided to go a different way. And that was very obvious. I mean, that was, you know, doing away with the laws of God. That was fairly obvious. But how do you know if it's very subtle? The only way you know is if you're focused. From a good news article in the, you know, the Fruit of the Spirit article, it's called Governing Your Life by the Power of God. And this was a series that was done, and this was one of the last in the series, and it was written by Mr. Don Hooser. And he writes, "Those of us who want the eternal prize should ask ourselves some questions." And he goes through a series of questions. He just listed out the questions, and then I endeavor to answer those questions. Question one, am I as dedicated and zealous as an Olympic athlete? You think about it. An athlete, especially an Olympic athlete, they spend their entire life in some cases devoted. They live it, they breathe it, they eat it, they sleep with it. That's their entire being. Am I as dedicated and zealous as an Olympic athlete? Well, I have to tell you, I fall short of that, very short of that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm giving this message, because it's as much for me as it is for anyone else. It's something that we all need to improve on, I'm sure. I'm sure we can. There was an article in a magazine that dealing with athletes and how to train, and there was an article called How to Train Effectively. It says that athletes need to learn how to train not only often, but well. Instead of practice makes perfect, practice makes permanent. What you teach yourself to do over and over in training surfaces whenever you step into the competition arena. If your Christian life is such that when you're confronted with anything, it's just part. It's not second nature. It's your nature. It's part of who you are. It says that novice athletes talk about practice their sport. Serious athletes talk about training. It says what you do dictates what you do in competition. How much time you spend, how much energy you spend in it. One of the Olympic shooters by the name of Berkey Schneider, he says this, I try to train every day with the same intensity that I need for a match. I expect the same things in practice as I do in a match. That means that even in training, I expect to shoot 20 tens in a row. He expects to do in training what he would expect to do in competition. And translate that into our Christian life, what we do in everyday life on the Sabbath, the other 6 days of the week, should be, you know, our character, our the way we live, the way we do everything that we do. Another question. Do I study the Holy Scriptures as much as any athlete studies how to perform well his sport? You know, you think about, I could drop a few names and you could picture the sport without even knowing, without me even mentioning it. Michael Jordan. Instantly, you know that he's a basketball player. I just told you. But you could drop a few names, and because you know these people, they're dedicated to that sport. They live it. They breathe it. It's their life. But how about us? When we go to work, when we go to school, does someone see us or hear our name? Do they think that's a Christian? That's a follower of Christ? That's someone that lives a life that's trying to be different, trying to be better than what they can be? What they, you know, they're trying to do a better life. Is that what they see? Is that what they think of when you see you or hear your name? Or when someone sees me or hears my name? One of my biggest fears is to having a relationship or association with someone that I work with or someone outside of here. And that for some reason, you know, that at some time that God would call them and they walk through that door back there. And they see me, and they turn around and walk out because I wasn't a very good example. That's a big fear, and I want to be conscious of that, not just when I'm here, but when I'm out in the world. And that's what I'm trying to express to everyone here, that we need to live a life that is transparent, that we are, you know, we are imitators of Christ. That Christ pointed the way to God the Father, and we are to imitate Him. Imitate those that are leading us and showing us the way. And by their fruits, we know them. In Acts 17:11, and Paul here is speaking of the Bereans, they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they welcomed the word very readily. Every day they studied the scriptures to check whether it was true. They weren't checking to see if it was wrong or to find fault with it. They were checking it to establish it and make it more permanent, make it part of their character, part of their way of living. And the proof of that is in verse 12. And by the way, this comes from the New Jerusalem Bible. I find it a little bit clearer on some things. In verse 12 it says, many of them became believers. And so did many of the Greek women of high standing and a number of the men. By them studying and showing themselves approved, they learned things and they wanted to be a part of their life, to be part of their character, to be who they were. They liked what they heard. They liked the people that they associated with. Another question that he asked, am I quick in seeking advice through prayer and Bible study from my coach? From the Living Bible in Ecclesiastes 12:11, it says, the wise men's words are like goads that spur to action. They nail down important truths. Students are wise who master what their teachers tell them. Master what their teachers tell them. Not just book learning, but putting it into practice day after day, every day. Whether you're here on the Sabbath or attending a holy day somewhere or a feast, every day, at work, at school, in the supermarket, living your life, you know, emulating Christ, not talking, you know, not making a big, you know, big thing about it, like some, you know, some Christian religions, so-called Christian religions, they make a big deal about it, and they always, you know, Jesus this and Jesus that all the time, and it's frankly annoying. Not like that, but just conducting our lives in a way that the people take notice. You know, even when we go to the feast, we get comments back that it's a strange religion, but I like the people, is what we hear back. Well, why is it? It's because we're emulating Christ at the feast, and we should be all the time. And I think for the most part we do. Proverbs 12:15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Seeking counsel, not seeking your own ideas, your own words, your own thoughts about things, but seeking wise counsel. Counsel from those that the fruits are sound, and you've proved them to be sound. And there's safety in much counsel, it says in other places in Proverbs. Do I stay focused on my long-range goal? From the article on the training for to be an athlete, it says dealing with distractions. It says you will have to teach yourself to ignore all distractions. You know, flash bulbs, the roar of the crowd. Practice your Christianity and ignore the distractions. And believe me, there are lots of distractions. You know it as much as I do. And they said one successful training technique is to introduce distractions. You don't have to do that to be a Christian. There are distractions from the day you wake up until, well, maybe 24/7, actually. There are distractions. You know, TV, the movies, the entertainment of all types. And not just things that distract us in a negative way, but there's things that are positive, that still can be a distraction from things we need to do to grow. It goes on further to say, it says, one of the reasons that our resident athlete pistol program in Colorado Springs is successful is that we all have to train with each other at the same time, every day. It's therefore a given that each day some people will be more focused than others. And that goes, you know, there's times that we're more focused than others, and we can help and encourage each other to regain that focus that we need to have. There's always a lot of gossip and shooting the breeze. Before you know it, you waste an entire morning. Sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we can waste a Sabbath by idle talk. I think for the most part we don't. But it's just a reminder to myself to try to stay focused. Focused on what is important. Another question, am I willing to make sacrifices to reach my goal? We made a commitment when we were baptized, when we decided to go this way of life. Am I willing to make a sacrifice to reach my goal? Matthew 10, verse 38. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. It's a very serious thing. It's a commitment that we make. And back up to verse 16, it says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That we're to be the kind of, it's putting together the kind of training that we're here learning. The Sabbath is like a training. It's like a class. We're learning from each other. I'm up here learning just as much as I am teaching. I hope I'm teaching. It's a serious thing, a commitment that we've made. Verse 17, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour." Now, where would those words come from? They don't just miraculously appear in your mind. They could. But they come through this much study and the much training that you have done before. If you don't put it in your head, how can it come out? It's like a computer. You can't get it out of a computer if it wasn't put in there. Sometimes you can't get it out of there even when it was put in there. But that's another story. But through much study and through much practice, those things that come to mind, when God wants them to, when we need it. "For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." He's helping you to remember things that you've already put in your mind. "Am I determined to endure to the end, to cross the finish line of life and never quit?" Matthew 24:13, Mark 13:13, Matthew 10:22 all say basically the same thing. "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." He endures everything that is thrown at us. And we can endure it if we stay focused. Many have come before us and have gone before us. And they stayed focused. And they're listed in Hebrews, in the chapter of the faithful. And we could be there too. But you've got to stay focused. Self-control. Paul listed 9 godly virtues that constitute the fruit of God's Spirit. The inward and the outward effects of having the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's just, all those good things. And we just stay focused. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned Paul in 1 Corinthians. "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." And find the right page of my notes. In Philippians 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Looking to those that are bearing good fruits, to counsel, to guide. But when it comes down to it, it is us individually that will stand before Christ to have to answer for our own actions. It's not who our leaders are. It's not who our spouse is. It's not what, you know, where we meet for Sabbath services. It's us individually. How we've been focused on Christ, been focused on the Father, on the kingdom that's coming. And it is coming. We know that. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his will for good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And there's no doubt about it. This is a crooked and a perverse generation. There are other places that says that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be this end time. And we know we're in the end time. We don't know how close it is or how far away it is. But we know it's a lot closer than it was. A whole lot closer than it was during the time of Noah. But this is a perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world.